How's everybody doing today? Amen, amen. Everybody did well on the test? Praise God, amen. That's what I want to hear. Glory to God. What we're going to do today is we're going to move on into the area of a deacon. And one of the reasons being because the qualifications for both deacon and elder are very similar, but the responsibilities are a little different. Qualifications are very much similar, but the responsibilities are somewhat different. So we're going to try to cover the qualifications and the office of the deacon today, and then try to move on to the ministry gifts with the next couple of weeks we have before graduation. Amen? All right, we're going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We trust, Lord God, that your will is being done in our lives right now, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that as we embark into your word, you're going to give us insight, revelation, and wisdom on the offices and the functioning and the government of your New Testament church, that we can fulfill our plan and our purpose that you have for our lives. We thank you right now, Lord God, for our apostle and the anointing that's on his life, Lord God. For we know if it wasn't for his obedience, Lord God, none of us probably would not be here, Lord God. So we just thank you right now, Lord God, and we give you all the praise. And Lord God, I expect the Holy Spirit to show up, Lord, because if he doesn't show up, Lord God, I'm a man most miserable, and I'll fall on my face. So I'm yielding unto him right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, chapter 17, the ministry and the function of the deacon. Before we get into it, I want to read some excerpts here. Well, not excerpts, but we're going to be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 1. So open up your Bibles. We're just going to start with a foundation of the word here. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1, it says, "This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the house or the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into temptation by the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into a reproach and a snare of the devil. Likewise, must." Now, when it says likewise, it means, you know, with everything I just said, also likewise, a deacon being grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, nor greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let those who also first be proven. Now, we're going to talk about that. A deacon must first be proven, as also is an elder. Says, "And let those also first be proven, and let them use the office of a deacon, being founded blameless. Even so must their wives be grave." The word grave kind of means one of respect and honor, you know, not just, you know, loose about business and about themselves, holding themselves with respect and dignity. Not a slanderer, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife. I'm saying that twice, so that's very important. Ruling their children and their own households well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and a great boldness in the faith with Jesus Christ. These things I write unto you, hoping that I will come unto you shortly." And that's Paul talking to Timothy and giving Timothy the instructions. So one of the first things we want to talk about in the area of a deacon, both the office of deacon and elder is offices in the church.
elders, as I stated a couple of weeks ago, their responsibility is more governing, ruling, teaching. You know, they have more from a spiritual standpoint of view, helping the pastor or helping the man of God, the apostle, whoever is over that church, you know, in the government and the ruling and the teaching of the people. Whereas the deacons, they're more in the avenue of servitude or serving, you know, from a more, you know, ushering, parking lot attendant, working in the nursery, you know, cleaning the church, doing things like that, doing certain responsibilities that are so very vital in the church, but you have to have people assigned to get these tasks done. Okay, let me just read a little bit here. It says, the New Testament knows no other office but these, and that's the elder of the office of elder and deacon. These three groupings of God's people spoken here are saints, with bishops and deacons ruling and serving the body of Christ. There is much confusion about this office. I mean, some ministries have what they call, some denominations, I should say, have what they call archbishops. Some have archdeacons, I should say. Some have a board of directors, you know, and some deacons actually have more power than what the office was intended for them to have, and some of them have little or no authority, to where the point where they, you know, it's just a title with no responsibility. But what we're going to be looking at is what, based on the Word of God, what the true office of a deacon is, and what some of their responsibilities are. Okay, the word deacon, and I'm not going to get into the Greek wordings of it, but basically a servant of the people. A deacon is a waiter. Now, I was at a wedding this weekend, and at the reception, there were waiters that waited upon us. You know, they brought out food to us. If we wanted more water, they poured more water. I think two or three times I remember the waiter coming. They were serving. You know, waiting doesn't mean sitting still. Waiting means, you know, you're constantly being busy about your Father's business. You know, so when you operate as a deacon or operate in that capacity, or really any capacity in the church, you should never be sitting idle. A lot of times people are waiting for somebody to tell them what to do, you know, or just waiting. You know, I always tell people, you know, whatever your hands finds to do, get busy. And as you begin to get busy, you know, people are going to see that you have a desire to serve. Let me see. There was something I wanted to read in the book of Matthew. So let me find it. When I said the word serve, it just triggered a bell. I was reading it today out on my porch, I believe. Let's see. I thought I had wrote that scripture down somewhere too. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I wanna definitely hit on it. But it was talking about service, you know, and how it's so important to serve. I think I got it. Matthew's 20. Let's look at, Matthew's 20 and 20. We're going to start at Matthew's 20 and 20. And I'm going to try to quickly read down, and maybe have to kind of paraphrase a little bit of it. But it says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. A thing she was wanted to talk to Jesus about. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant that my two sons sit the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in the kingdom. So she wanted her two sons to be seated on either side of Jesus. Okay. And that was her request, you know. But anyway, but Jesus said, answered and said, ye know what ye ask, and ye are able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. They say unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever will be great among you, let him be a minister, or let him be a servant. Now, those who want to be great, instead of looking for a position or being next to greatness, no, you need to be a servant. You know, that word minister, that means being a servant. For whosoever will be chief among you, let him be a servant. So if you want to, if you want to think of yourself as being something, you need to learn how to serve. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus says, I came not to be ministered unto, but to give my life as a ransom unto many. You know, so if you want to be great in the things of God, learn how to be a servant. I'll never forget one of the most important, you know, everything the apostle says is extremely important. But in my earlier years, when I first came to Word of Life some 22, 23 years ago, he pointed out a particular person and told me to watch him and let him be my example. You know, and that was probably some of the best information I ever received, because I've watched and I've grown and I see how, you know, a person serves, you know, and how can I put it? And when you serve, you know, you have to know how to get in the way and how to get out of the way. You know, you fill in a role and a position, you do your job, and then you step back, you know. You don't want no notoriety, you don't want no accolades, because the Bible says that, you know, your gift will make room for you, and it will put you among great, not being seen among men. So it's very important, you know, and whatever position, you know, whenever you appointed to something, I'm getting ahead of myself, you want to stay in that position, stay in that function. Don't take yourself out, put yourself back in. Or look, well, you know, I don't like ushering, so I think I'm gonna try parking lot attendant. You know, no. If you've been assigned, because the level of your faithfulness will determine the degree of you moving up in the things of God. You know, stick with the assignment that you've been given. That's so very important. You got to stick with it. As far as I can remember, I don't think there's nothing that I've done here that I've just dropped the ball. You know, I might have been promoted and had to pass the torch to somebody else because I was given another torch. But you know, I always try to stay faithful where I'm at, because when you're faithful where you're at, God, you know, I think about David. David was out in the sheep, you know, a shepherd boy, but he was faithful at that position. And God, you know, the man of God found him where he was at. You know, but if you're moving around and you're somewhere God didn't assign you, when it's time for promotion to come, you're gonna be somewhere else. And that's so very important. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me get back. Because I want to try to completely cover this chapter. Okay, let's see, let me go back here. Okay, we said that basically the word deacon means service, attendance of a servant. It says to serve, to be an attendant, to be waited upon, to wait upon others, you know, because you're serving others. These words basically mean servitude of others, to act as a servant, serving others in attendance, okay? Okay, now there's what is known as the spirit of a deacon. Jesus said, as the head of the church, gave us the supreme example of deaconship, okay? And basically what I just read a little while ago is not always also a good example. He says this was because he had the spirit and the attitude of a servant. Jesus is the deacon, the servant, one among us. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, as we read earlier. And he gave himself a ransom for many. So having that spirit of a deacon, having that spirit of servitude, Lord, I just want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing to your people. That's so very important. When you have that spirit of servitude, God can use you. And you're having that spirit of servitude, but you're really not expecting nothing. But the Bible says God is not going to forget your labor of love. You know, he's not unjust that he's going to forget what you've done for him. You know, you can't, you know, that old Baptist song goes, you can't outbeat God's giving. You know, you just can't do it. When you're serving God and doing what God called you to do, promotion gonna be on the horizon in due season. I remember a phone call I got from the apostle some 2 years ago. We had just finished. He had went to Las Vegas, and my wife and I went there with him. And we left Las Vegas, and we were headed to Hawaii on our 30th wedding anniversary. And one, I guess the second day into our vacation, I got up early one morning. It's about 4 or 5 hours difference in time. So I just got up early one morning around 4:30, 5 o'clock. And the apostle didn't quite know what time zone. He knew where I was, but he didn't know. So he called me, and it was early, but the Lord had woke me up. And I said, Greg, this is Pastor. I said, yes, sir. He says, we're going to be doing some new things in the school of ministry, and I want you to be on my team. I said, yes, sir. He said, get with Leroy Jr., and he'll tell you what you're going to need to do. And, you know, starting that particular August, we're going to kick it off, and I want you to be a part of that. Okay? I got that phone call, and I'd already just applied to to LTMA, and at the end of the week, I get a call, you know, from an LTMA representative scheduling my interview to be appointed into LTMA. You know, but at that point, I had been part of the ministry here for over 20 years, you know, working, serving, doing whatever my hand found to do, you know, put imprisonment and stayed with it, worked on video, did this, did that, you know. So I guess what I'm saying, it wasn't an overnight sensation. It was sticking with the assignment, staying with the assignment, serving, doing whatever you can do, and see God, you know, like I said, God knows what you're doing, you know, and you got to have that heart of a servant. Amen. Let me move on. Let's see where else I want to hit real strong areas. Okay, and I said this, but I'm gonna say it again. I wrote it in my book. So you must learn how to get in the way and out of the way. What I mean by that is, when you're called on to do an assignment, you fill that position. You get in the way. You know, you make up the hedge. You know, you stand in the gap. You fill that need that needs to be done. You know, but once your assignment is over, you know, you step back and you let, you know, let everything flow the way it's supposed to flow. You know, you know how to get in the way and out of the way. You know, when I'm called upon to minister, I step in that assignment. You know, once that assignment is complete, I get back, sit on my seat, do what I got to do, go back to my original assignment. You know, because that's so important. You know, you never want to let your pride and arrogance and your head get all lifted up and blown out of proportion. Because you recognize, hey, you know, as Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that grace I don't take in vain, because if it wasn't for that grace, I would be nothing. You know, so we got to recognize that it's not about us, but it's about us doing and fulfilling the will of God for our lives. So let's move on to some of the qualifications of a deacon. The office of a deacon. Okay, now one of the things I want to point out, that this is indeed an office. It is a particular duty, a charge, an employment, an undertaking by commission of authority. And that's so important you understand it. It's a post. It's a position held by an official or a functionary. Specifically, a position of trust. Now, that's so very important, that word trust. When you put in a position and you're working in the ministry, you know, there's got to be trust there. That the assignment is going to be fulfilled no matter what. I'm going to give you an illustration. 15, 16, 17 years ago. I don't know. Sometimes I lose track of time. But anyway, several years ago, I remember Helen Baylor came and she ministered. And we used to have celebrations years ago. And this was in New Orleans. And at the time, Pastor Apostle Thompson and the staff members were, I think they were in Tulsa for some training that he had sent all the members to. And he needed somebody to pick Helen Baylor and her husband up from the airport. So he called upon me, says, I want you to go and pick up Miss Baylor. Her flight is going to be in around 5 o'clock. You know, you and your wife, y'all go pick them up, bring them to the airport in New Orleans, which was the Hilton, I believe. You know, make sure they have everything they need. You know, check the room out before they go in. Make sure that everything is in order. You know, and leave them, you know, well, and then, you know, take the church van and then drive back to church. Well, I got off of work early, got dressed up, came to church, and the secretary at the time, who was Miss Audrey, she says, I got a call from Miss Baylor. They missed their flight. They had to take a later flight, and they won't be in till 12 o'clock. You know, I had everything worked out. You know, I said, ooh, that's going to throw this off and that off. But my assignment was to pick them up, bring them to the hotel, make sure everything was well before I left them. So I went and I got my wife. She got off work and I told her things have changed. So I said, what we're going to do, we're going to drive to New Orleans, drive to the close to the airport, get us a hotel right next to the airport as close as we can, get us some rest. And so about 11:30, we'll get up, go to the airport. And I mean, there was nobody in there, but I was the last flight of the night. Okay, so we sat there, waited on. They were, I think, one of the last people to get off the plane. You know, greeted them, got their bags for them, drove them into New Orleans. I remember they wanted some water. They wanted some few things from the store. We stopped. We paid for everything they wanted. Brought them to the hotel, got them checked in, you know. And my wife had worked in New Orleans, and we would have had to drive all the way back to Baton Rouge. But since we had the room, I said, well, we'll just spend the night here. My car was at church. I said, in the morning, I was supposed to come back to help Brother Boyette get the sound equipment so we can bring it to New Orleans to set up for the concert. But I guess what I'm saying, I'm going into a lot of detail, but whatever it takes to get the job done, you know, this is probably the first time publicly I'm sharing, you know, the things that had to take place in order to make that happen. But, you know, I never told Pastor what I said. He said, everything went well. Yes, sir, everything went well. That's all he needed to know. You know, I did everything. I fulfilled the assignment. You know, that's what it takes. When you talk about a position, you want to fulfill the assignment, get in the way, and then get out of the way. Amen? All right. Okay, now there's, in the qualification stage, there are spiritual qualifications, there's character qualifications, and there's domestic qualifications. Okay, and some of the spiritual qualifications are very similar to what we talked about with an elder. Number one, a deacon must be born again. Number two, a deacon must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And not just filled with the Holy Spirit, well, I think the author says continually being filled. In other words, you see a lot of people, and when somebody says, yeah, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, my next question is, do you pray in other tongues on a regular basis? You know, are you continually getting a refilling, a subsequent refilling? Because it's one thing to get filled and then never exercise your gift. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. You know, if you just go to the gym once every blue moon, don't expect to get no results. Because you're not. All you're going to get is sore muscles. You know, because, you know, the first time you go, you're going to overdo it and your muscles sore. And then you say, well, I'm going to take a three-month break. You ain't going to get no results. You're fooling yourself. Praying in other tongues and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but you don't pray in other tongues. But every once in a while, you're fooling yourself. You're not building up yourself on your most holy faith. That is vital. When I say vital, your life depends on that. Because you need to know how to hear the voice of God. You need to know how to be still and know that God's there. And by praying in other tongues, you're communicating with God and you learn to hear his voice more easily. because you're more sensitive spiritually. You're more sensitive to spiritual things. And a deacon has to have that spirituality, that sensitivity to God, to hear God. Amen. I remember one time, and I talked about some of these subjects 2 weeks ago, and I'm not going to get back into it. But, you know, just getting back to praying in the Holy Spirit, he'll reveal things to you to keep you out of harm's way. You know, so that you can make turns in your life that'll keep you from out of danger or being at the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, that's so very important. I remember we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, some 15 so years ago for Kenneth Hagin. I was following the apostle to Tulsa because he was headed there. I said, well, I'm going myself, you know. And I would get up in the morning and I would walk around the Tulsa Convention Center. And in the process, the Holy Spirit just quickened in my heart about keeping my distance from a particular individual. Didn't know why, but later on, it was just, Lord, I see what you mean. You know, he said, keep your distance. And every time, you know, seemed like things was getting close, the Holy Spirit said, what I told you, keep your distance. You know, but that kept me out of harm's way. You know, I'm not going to go into detail about it, but it kept me out of harm's way. You know, praying in other tongues is vital. You know, if you don't do it every day, you're missing out. You're missing instructions that otherwise could affect your life. Let's move on. But that's some of the spiritual qualifications, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being continually filled. Another one is a deacon should hold the mystery of faith in a pure conscience and maintain clear consciousness before God and man. In other words, your conscience should be clear. You know, I mean, none of us are perfect, but when you sin, the Bible says you have an advocate who, with Christ Jesus, who is the righteous one, and he's perpetuation of all sin, and we can go to him, and he can cleanse us. So you want to keep your conscience clear, you know, and you want to stay above reproach. You want to be a person that's not, you know, give you an example. If I was delivered from alcohol, I'm not going to randomly hang around bars. I'm not gonna be in areas or positions or places that's gonna cause me to stumble. You know, if I had a weakness in something, well then I'm gonna strengthen myself up in that area, but at the same time I'm not gonna go test myself to see if I can resist it. You know, that's tempting. You know, that's tempting. You don't want to do that. And you want to be above reproach. Okay. Also too, a deacon must be, like I said, full of faith. Now if you're full of faith, you're also going to be full of the word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're full of faith, you're going to also be full of the word, because the way you're going to get faith is by hearing the word. Amen? And studying and meditating on the word. Okay, there are also character qualifications. A deacon must not be double-tongued. In other words, saying one thing at this time and then saying something else at another time, telling one person one thing. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You want to be one of integrity. You know, if I say it to you, I can say it to anybody. You know, not being ashamed, you know, speaking the truth in love always, not double-tongued. He must not be given to talk in twofold manner by gossip. Matter of fact, gossip. One of the things I use this parameter. If I can't say nothing good about a person, I ain't gonna say nothing. I heard Kenneth Hagin say that years ago. You know, somebody would ask him about old so-and-so and say, do you know old so-and-so? Old so-and-so might have been the worst person out there. But he said, yeah, I know him. And they're waiting for him to say something else. He said, I'm not saying, you know, if I can't say nothing good about him, I'm just gonna leave it alone. You know, I'll pray for him, believe God for their deliverance. But I'm not gonna be a part of gossip, you know, and that's so very important. A deacon, you know, because when you're in those positions of an elder and a deacon, there are certain things and certain information that you're privy to that you know, that if put in the wrong hands could hurt somebody. You know, they're believing God to get out of something, they're going through a test, and you're standing with them, but all of a sudden you say, you know, so and so, let me tell you what he did. You know, that's being double-minded. That's having no integrity. You know, so it's so very important that in these offices that we hold, you know, hold these truths to be vital in our lives. Not a gospel. When I was reading this, I was on my front porch today, just sitting down reading. The weather was real nice, and I was reading about gossiping. Years ago, it was a comedian. Well, I think he's still alive. A guy by the name of Flip Wilson. And he used to have these comedy. He had a variety show. And in one of his variety shows, he made the comment, "Loose lips sink ships." And I always remember that, because as a kid, I used to mimic him, you know. And I thought about, I was sitting down reading it about gossiping, and you know, and Lord said, you know, how a tongue is like a rudder of a ship, and it can turn that ship. It'll turn that ship in the wrong direction, right into an iceberg, you know, by what you're saying, and destroy something. Now you can be speaking fate in one time, and now you're speaking something perverse or something contrary, and you know, it'll sink that ship. You know, sink. You know, the thing that you're believing or somebody believing for. You know, so you don't want to. You want to make sure you bridle that tongue. Amen. All right. Also, to a deacon must not be given, not a drunkard, given to excess. You know, my thought on that is, you know, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm not going to do anything that's going to defile my temple. And you want to stay, what's the word I want to use? I want, like I said a couple of weeks ago, you want all your faculties to be in good operating parameters. Now, I want to be able to, I don't want to, you know, just be sluggish and you know, not of quick wit and your, all your movements. I mean, it's not becoming of a Christian. You know, people say, well, you can drink a little social, but you know, most people who start off socially doing something end up being habitual. You know, Bible says, give the devil no place. So if you know the potential is there, why even and dabble in? You know, a lot of times weights become sin because it keeps you down. You know, the Bible says a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You know, just a little bit. All the devil needs is a foothold. If he can get his foot in there, you know, the next thing you know, he's sticking his hand in there. And before you know it, you people are oppressed and possessed because they gave in to, you know, to the fiery darts of the wicked one. And you don't want to do that. You know, as a deacon, you guard yourself against those things. You know, I know how to put my track shoes on, and I ain't afraid of running from situations that's going to cause me to stumble. I've done it before, and I'll do it again, because it's not working. You know, I've heard the apostle say, it's for what God has done in your life is just not working. You know? We'll leave it at that. Glory to God. Let's move on. Domestic qualifications. Let me check my time, make sure I'm doing good. Okay, domestic qualifications. A deacon must be the husband of one wife. You know, that goes without saying. Not of immoral qualities. What I mean by that is, you know, you got a wife, but you got these other people that you're seeing on the side, some friend, lady. I don't have no lady friends. You know, I have people who are acquaintances between me and my, and one of the things I have learned to do, and me and my wife, we kind of both agreed, all of our friends are married friends. You know, I don't hang out with single people because I'm not single. You know, I'm going to give you a good example. Several years ago, me and a gentleman from the church went to a Creflo Dollar convention that was in Mississippi. I'm married, he's single, but we both wanted to go to the meeting, so we shared the expenses and what have you, drove on up there, and we were sitting at a restaurant, and there were two other ladies who was there at the meeting, you know, there too, and some kind of way they struck up a conversation. Now, I'm married, you know, so I'm just, how you doing, you know, but he's, you know, getting more, you know, want to know more about the background, what they're doing, and so, you know, and I really kind of felt uncomfortable, but the next thing you know, I'm talking, and then the Holy Spirit said, don't you recognize you're in the wrong crowd. Because, you know, he's, matter of fact, to be honest, be perfectly honest with you, he actually met his wife at that meeting. So he went there with some intentions, you know, which is not bad. I mean, you had a Christian meeting, and they're still married, so, and that's been about 15 years ago. But he met his wife at that meeting. Because I think after the Lord told me that night, the next evening, I stayed in, and he went back out and found his wife. You know, but it was just the idea, you know, here I am getting involved in a single person conversation and I'm a married man, you know. So it got to the point where I would take either my daughter or my son or find another person to come with me who was married also, you know, when I would go to certain meetings, you know. Now that I'm a part of LTMA, I don't have that problem of going to the money come. I've never ran into no difficulties. And I could tell you some horror stories going to meetings by myself. You know, I'm not going to get into it. But the thing about it is, you know, when you want to be a deacon or you're striving for those things, there's things you're going to have to deal with. And a lot of times people don't talk about it a lot, you know, but they're out there. So you got to know how to guard yourself and how to keep yourself pure before and in the eyesight of God, okay? These are just domestic things, you know, that people, you know, get tripped up on. Okay. Also, too, now, one of the things the apostle always states that when he appointed the 12, not only here in the church, but the 12 master vision bearers, he also looked at their wives. It wasn't just the men. But the wife has to have the same moral qualities, the same qualifications as the deacon, because when you become one, like I said, I was at Mackley. I did the wedding ceremony for my daughter this past weekend, and one of the things I shared during that wedding was that, you know, husbands, love your wives. Wives, I mean, we just took Ephesians and just read all down Ephesians 5, you know, what, you know, love your wife as wife loves the church, you know, wives submitting yourselves to your, there were people who came up to me and said, I never knew that. You know, I looked at them like, you know, they said, I never heard nobody explain the responsibilities and the role of a husband and a wife the way you explained it. And all I did was read the Bible. You know, it wasn't no deep revelation, I'm saying, you know, but most people don't expect it. And then, you know, then you speak the blessings of God over their lives. And I put my hands on them and spoke Deuteronomy 28 over their lives. And they said, we've never seen that done. I said, well, as a man of God, I have a legal right to pronounce blessing over my daughter, over my new son-in-law. I have a, you know, it's one thing to get a natural inheritance, but I have a spiritual inheritance that I can pass. When people are operate faithfully, you can do that. But, you know, getting back to, you know, to the lesson, you know, the wives also must not be a slanderer. You know, everything that applies to the man also applies to the woman. You know, it says Satan, he's a whisperer, he's a gossiper against God and his word. If you remember with Adam and Eve, you know, he tempted Eve and Eve was deceived, and basically the man can be disqualified because of the woman. You know, she can bring him down. So it's very important, you know, for women to have the same qualifications that the man does. I say, a deacon's wife must be faithful in all things. Faithfulness is required. Reliability, dependability. Next area, the children. A deacon, the wife and the deacon must be able to have their children under control. You know, rule well over their children. Their children not just all run around getting in trouble. That they should have, over the course of time, put something in their children where the fear of the Lord is upon their children. That where the children know the difference between right and wrong and make a conscious effort to serve God. You know, because if you can't rule and keep and govern your own house, how can you rule and govern the house of God? You know, there's a parallel there. If you're going to serve in the capacity of a deacon, you have to also be able to keep your household under all subjection, amen, and keep it under control. Say, a deacon, let's see where we go first. Another thing, and this is something not only in, well, one of the areas of deacons, I mean, a deacon could be an usher because you're serving. You have a particular function, a role in the church. A greeter could be, is considered a deacon. One of the things I had to kind of change my thinking about because I came a Baptist, you had the deacons over here, and you had the deaconesses over there, and they, you know, the deaconess wore the white hats and the whites, you know, and most of them were in their 60s or 70s, and a lot of the deacons had canes, and, you know, I'm not trying to be, you know, funny about it, but I'm just, that's what I remember growing up, and you always had one or two deacons who control everything. There was always at least one or two who was either the biggest tither or had some clout in the society or in the neighborhood, who ruled with an iron fist, and nothing could go down, no meeting could be discussed, nothing could be bought, no pastor could be fired or hired without his approval. That's not God. That's totally usurping authority and out of God's original intent. Deacons are there to serve. They're not put in a, you have a position of authority to a limited degree only in your area of where you're supposed to be. If you're a parking lot attendant, you can tell them to stop. You can tell them, come on, that's your authority. But now you can't go in the nursery and start telling them how to change the diapers. That's not your area. Stay in your lane. Stay what you've been called. You can't tell them, Troy, I think you need to, you do a better job in cleaning here and doing this. I'm seeing, no, that's not your area. You stay, if you're in the parking lot, you make sure that no cars get broken into and that people get in and out safely. And while they're at the meeting, you know that their vehicles are safe. If you're a greeter, you greet people. You welcome them to church. If you're an usher, you see them. And those are the limited areas of it. If you're in the praise team or are playing, the organ or the piano or instruments, that's a limited area of responsibility. Those are areas where people function and serve as deacons or deaconess in the church. But you don't want to get outside of that, because then you're getting out of order. Amen. And you're in an area. And one of the things it says there is a probationary period for deacons. Okay. Sometimes I feel people are put in some situations, put in a position too early. You got to first be proven. What I mean by that, your faithfulness got to come forward. Do they come to church every Sunday or most of the time, and on Wednesdays? Are they at prayer meeting? You check out their family, their lifestyle, their manner of life, those things have to be checked out. That's why it's so important that new members come, go through the new members class, and they sit for a while. There are people who approach me about prison ministry. I said, well, I'll get back with you, because I need to check you out. I need to see, because, I don't want somebody starting a project and then don't finishing it. You want people that's going to, because in God's government, it's a training. It really starts at an early age. We're training them up, getting them ready to walk in their God-given roles. A lot of times you have people who come in from other areas who just think they can just fill in a slot right away, because of their talent and their ability, Talent and ability should never outweigh character, and a person's faithfulness and trust. They have to be proven. A person, a deacon or an elder or any position in the church needs to be first proven. It says here, Paul is clear on the fact that deacons also first be proved. That's 1 Timothy 3 and 8 through 10. Proven takes time. Like I said, it's not a 2 or 3 weeks. Sometimes it might be 2 or 3 years. I share this several, I've shared this several times before, but I can remember in the old church, I had been here about a year or two. I think I had finished the school of ministry. I might had still been in at the time. But the apostle called me up to close the service and to do the offering and close the service. He walked out of the pulpit. He told me to come up there. And when I walked up on the pulpit in the old church, I looked at the congregation and I just froze. The residue of the anointing that was there was just so overwhelming. I stumbled through the announcements and the tithes and the offering, and then I looked over at him and said, go ahead and close. So then I said something, closed, and stepped down as quick as I could. And as I was stepping down, the Lord told me, son, you're not ready. That was to show you're not ready. It's a humbling. And it's a strong responsibility when you stand before the people of God, and you have to be ready. It's not nothing you want to get into lightly, because people's lives are in the balance, and you have to make sure that your life is right and that you're ready and that you've got all. Some people, they want to be launched out too soon, and they don't wait on their calling and wait to be sent. They just go out and they went. You know, and that's so very important that, you know, people recognize that, you know, there's a proven time for that. All right, we got you. All right, we got 5 minutes left. Let me just, what else I want to share that's going to be very important? The authority of a deacon. Okay, and we kind of touched on this also too. A lot of times people in past times have put too much authority in that office and given the deacons the role of firing or hiring or to be in areas where they really shouldn't be in. And so it's very important that, you know, deacons recognize that they have limited authority. The deacon's authority is delegated and it's limited. It's not all inclusive. Here it says, you know, it's a limited authority based on what you've been assigned to do. And that's so very important to understand that. The government of the church belongs to ministry of the eldership. They are the ones that are the rulers and teachers, you know, and the deacon's authority is delegated and is limited. Deacons were delegated by the apostles, you know, and the apostles laid their hands on. But the minute that happened in Acts chapter 6, once those seven men full of faith and wisdom were appointed and they start taking care of matters that the apostles said that it's not a reason that we should leave tables, but that we should give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word, then the Bible said that the word of God increased. Why? Because now they didn't have to be sidetracked. And the administrations or other functions in the church were being handled by men of faith and wisdom, you know, who have been proven. So see, when all of this gets together and starts to function in the church now can begin to grow and prosper, and people begin to develop in their God-given roles and their God-given talents. You know, and that's where the government of the church comes in, and that's when you begin to see, you know, the Spirit of God moving in the congregation and on Sundays and on Wednesdays, because people are flowing and functioning in their roles with the spirit of excellence. And that's what you want. Amen. All right. We're going to close right there. Continue reading on this chapter. And then from we're going to go into probably next week the fivefold ministry gifts. Amen. You guys be blessed.
Sure.